Amen. I might take mine off. Who knows? You want to say amen, please say amen. You want to honk a horn, honk a horn. Better turn this mic on so they can hear me out there. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Perfect message for this morning. The Lord gave me this message a while back, and like a lot of them, I just have it in the hanger a while, but I planned on preaching this one this week anyway. The Lord had put it on my heart, and then with a lot of things that's happened with the church and things, it just was perfect message for this morning. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Now, I hope you look in the Word of God with me. There's a lot of stuff here, what it says, and never believe me. Let God be true, but every man a liar, the Bible says. I never trust what anybody says. I trust the Word of God. And Hebrews chapter 5, 11 says this, and it says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing we are dull of hearing." And Paul's rebuking them a little bit for not being closer to the Lord. For when for the time we ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Paul's saying, you guys, you ought to be a lot farther along what you are, you little babes, and you ought to be chewing on the meat of the Word of God. Verse 13, "For everyone that useth milk to unskillful is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And Paul's saying, hey, some of you guys, you've been saved a while, you still don't understand the milk of you're still in the milk of the Word of God, you need to grow up, is what he's saying. And Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says this. It's going to be my text. Hebrews 6, 1 says this, "Therefore..." Therefore means what I just said to you is this. Therefore, what I just told you, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Paul said what I just told you there about you need to grow up, you need to be not a babe in Christ there. He said, therefore, leaving the principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. And Paul said, there's some of you, some of God's people, and I've seen it here in this church, seen it everywhere, they never grow in the Lord, they never grow up, they stay in the principles of Christ, and they never go on. And that's what Paul's saying. Hey, we need to leave the principles of Christ. Well, a lot of Christians, all they got is fire insurance, and they never do nothing for God. They never go. They never grow. And Paul's saying, let us go on to perfection. The word perfect in the Bible, it means this. It means to complete, to carry to the end. It means nothing held back. It means finish the job. It means not defective. Matthew 21:16, Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. And I preached about that perfected praise. That's a complete praise. Those kids don't hold back. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace means a total peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. And that word perfection means a state of being perfect or complete so that nothing is wanting. And Paul's saying, let us go on to perfection. He said, hey, let's finish the job. Let's get her done. Brother Roloff used to say, let's keep on keeping on. Let us go on to perfection. Let's finish this thing out. Let's don't quit. What they say about football, you know, they say about a team, they say they left nothing on the field. Brother, when we leave this world, Brother B, we don't want to leave nothing on the field. We want to let us go on to perfection. We want to finish the job. We want to give it everything we got. And we get through this thing, we say, hey, I didn't leave nothing on the field, Lord. And we're in some difficult, dark days right now in America, across the world. I mean, this is undoubtedly the darkest and most difficult and deceitful days of my generation. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We've seen this coronavirus has tore a path of destruction and death and deceit and everything else on this country. I mean, it's tore our economy up. It's cost millions of jobs and thousands of businesses. It's decimated the healthcare industry. It's already killed over 160,000 Americans, and they're predicting by year end it'll kill 300,000. We've seen violent protests. We've called for defunding the police. We've seen anarchy. We've seen racial unrest. We've seen political turmoil. We've seen protest. We are seeing a country coming apart at the seams, brother.
We're seeing a country destroying itself. And I'm going to tell you this morning, it's not going to get better. It's just going to get worse. We've entered some of the darkest days of our country. There's no leadership. There's no help. There's nobody there. Nobody trying. We're about to enter a presidential election. It's going to be the most chaotic and crazy mess we've ever seen. We've seen churches closing all over the place. I talked to a lady this week at the post office. She goes to church in Nashville. The coronavirus went through her, put her husband in the hospital, like to kill him, and infected the whole church, and the church is now closed down. Churches are closing down and not open. 66% of the people that were going to church before the coronavirus are no longer going to church. I mean, it's a dark day. You say, what do we need to do, preacher? Let us go on to perfection. Let us keep going and finish the job. It's not the time to doubt and pout. This is the time to go and grow and glow, brother. This is the time never before to let us go on to perfection. When I see things like that, people ask me before, do people leave the church? Does it discourage you? It encourages me to do more. When I see the country going down, it doesn't discourage. It encourages me to do more for God, Miss Rachel. It encourages me to let us go on and finish the job. Let us go on to perfection. Acts chapter 20. Paul's over there and he's talking about his testimony. And he said, now behold, I go bound the Spirit in Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me. Say that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide with me. He said, I don't know what's going to happen. But he said the Holy Ghost testifies that bonds and afflictions. He's going to be put in jail. That's what bonds mean. He's going to be beaten. He said, everywhere I go, they're going to beat me. They're going to throw me in jail. And he says this, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry the Lord Jesus gave me. You know what we need to do, brother? We need to finish the course. When Paul got ready to die over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he says, for I am now ready to be offered. They cut his head off in Rome. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. His head was over. And he said this, I've fought a good fight. I finished my course and I kept the faith. Let us go on to perfection. Let us finish the course, brethren. You know what it said? It said, let us. You know what us means? Brother Roger, that means me and you. It don't mean them down the road. It means us, Brother Ben. It means the responsibility is let us go on. Brother Trotter, he's a funny guy. And he's preached some, and he's funny. He'd say this sometimes. He said it here, some other places. He'd get preaching. He'd say, now I'm not preaching to you folks. I know you guys are all right with God. I'm preaching to those guys down the road that's not here. Kidding, being sarcastic. But I want to tell you this morning, I'm preaching to me and you. Let us finish the job. Let us go on to perfection. Let us go on. I'm going to give you a few reasons for that. Number one, let us go on, Miss Jana, because of our children. Our children. There is more admonition, and there is more admonition and warning and teaching about training and raising children than about anything in the Bible. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart. Psalm 34:11. Come, ye children, hearken to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. All through the Bible, we find it. Take your Bible. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Say, why the reason we need to keep going, preacher? I'm kind of tired. I'm weary. I'm discouraged. Let us go on. Let us finish the job for our children. Look at Mark chapter 10. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, black and yellow, white, they are precious in His sight. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 13 says this. And they brought young children to him, and he that he should touch them. And his disciples, look at it, his disciples, not the Pharisees, the good guys. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Hey, brother, we got to get those kids to Jesus. Look what it said. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put them in his hands upon them and blessed them. I want to say, let us go on for our children. The Lord Jesus, he warns about that. Matthew chapter 18, he said, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, he never says that about any other age group in the Bible. He never says that about the middle or older people. He said, but these little ones, whosoever offendeth one of these little ones that should believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone was tied around his neck and he was drowned in the depths of the sea. You say, why do we need to keep on, preacher? Why do we go on to perfection and finish? Because of our children. Look at Mark chapter 9, one chapter over. You know, sometimes we get this false notion that our kids are immune to the devil. He's not a knot. In fact, they're his number one attack. They're his number one attack if you know your Bible. But we get the idea about they'll just sow their wild oats. They listen to that music, listen to that jump, they'll grow out of it. They might not. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 verse 17. When the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son which had a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh, he teareth him, he foameth, he gnashes with his teeth. He got a demon in him, a devil. And pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they could cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? In verse 20, and they brought him to him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Watch this. And he asked his father, how long is this ago? This came unto him, and he said this. Look at that. Look at it. Of a child. That devil entered in that young boy when he was just a child, my friend. Let me tell you, our children are not immune to the devil. Listen, that is their attack that he's after. Because they're the most vulnerable. Let us go on. Let us go on for our children. Let me tell you, brother, this world needs a witness. Listen, the world that our kids and our grandkids are facing right now is not the world you and I lived in. What is on TV right now? Right now, Miss May, the things that are on TV, a few years ago, Brother Robert, they were in X-rated adult shows. That are piped on our TV, our kids are seeing. They take it Walt Disney, they take Sesame Street, and they put homosexual and same-sex marriage and perverted to these kids in comics over and over and over. Let me tell you, our kids need us to go on. Our grandkids need us. Never before had they been under such attack. Let us go on for our children, our grandchildren. I mean, brother, I hope the Lord comes back. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I hope he comes back. I hope he comes back today. I tell you right now, if he grants me one prayer, God says, hey, I'm going to give you one prayer to answer. If you're saved, you better buckle up. We're out of here. Because I'm going to say, let's go, Lord. I'm ready to go. I'm surprised we're still here. Well, what's going on? Well, listen, this thing may go 10 more years. It may go 20, Miss March. It may go 50 more years. What are our kids going to have left? Listen, what can we do? Let us go on unto perfection. Let us finish the job for our grandkids. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's not getting better, folks. It's getting worse, a lot worse. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The last days, perilous times shall come. For man shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, brow, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers, those that are. That's where we're at! We're where? Come down to verse 12. I can read it all, but come down to verse 12. Yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Watch it. But evil man and seducer shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's going to get worse, folks. But I like what Paul said. Look at verse 14. But continue thou on the things which thou hast learned, as been assured of knowing whom thou hast learned them, and from a child, he told him, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which make thee wise unto salvation. It's at them children we got to reach. Let us go on for those children. Because these days are going to get bad, folks. And the only thing that's going to get them through is this Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Flip back over one few chapters. You know the greatest influence on children, you know what it is? It's not preachers. Mm-mm. Greatest influence on children is not the teacher in the classroom. The greatest influence on children are their parents and their grandparents. Some of you grandparents, this morning, you are the only witness those kids will ever get. That's it. Other people will not witness to them. There's nobody around to witness to them. They'll hear everything but the right thing, a hypocrite in the church. You are literally standing between them and heaven and hell for some of those kids. Let us go on to perfection. Let us keep going. You say, why? For our children. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says this. Watch this. This is the only time the word grandmother appears in the Bible. 2 Timothy 1, 5, talking to Timothy. Remember Paul said over there, when there from a child I have known the Holy Scriptures. You know where he got that from? He got it from grandma. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Unfeigned means it's a real deal. It's not a fake. It's a real deal. He said, when I call the unfeigned that is in thee, which dwelt first in their grandfather, Bob. Not what it says, is it? Grandmother Lois, and then in thy mother, Eunice. So who was it? Grandmama, listen, let us go home for our grandchildren. Let the devil have them. Fight for those kids. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about heaven. Tell them about hell. Don't stop. Let us go on to perfection. I love that old song Brother Billy Bass sings. I used to visit Grandma when I was just a kid. And if someone ever loved the Lord, she surely did. She loved Grandpa and Jesus with plenty of love to share. And she told me all about Him in that big old rocking chair. Your grandkids say that about you? I learned about Jesus in Grandma's rocking chair. Sometimes when I'm troubled, I wish that I was there. When she spoke of His sweet love, I didn't ever care. I learned about Jesus in my grandma's rocking chair. I used to love to hear her hum as she went through the day. And each night at bedtime, I loved to hear her pray. She told me about heaven waiting way up there. And I first felt the Spirit of God in my grandma's rocking chair. What about you? Let us go on for our children and our grandchildren. I love my grandchildren. I love them. I love them kids, man, how they'll call and just to talk about Papa and yell and scream and get excited. And that little grandson of mine, I told you about a year ago when they asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up. He said, I want to be a preacher like my Papa. Woo! Woo! I wouldn't take $1,000,000 for that. He said, I want to preach the Word of God like my Papa. Listen, let us go on for those grandkids. You know, all them kids out there, they're our responsibility. Not just yours, to some extent. May not be your kid you can reach. May not be your grandkids sometimes, your children, but you can reach somebody else's. We've led, I don't know how many young people to the Lord out of Cosby Lake, 10 or 15 teenagers. My wife's led some tweens out there, bunches of them. I talked to Earl Ancrum this last week, and he is out street preaching, led a 16-year-old girl to the Lord. Somebody's child you can reach. I'll never forget that couple I met at Walmart a few years ago. They were in their 80s and they were saved. He was a preacher at times and pastored, and their family ran around and sung to the Lord. And they had a daughter that went wayward and got away from God and had a messy divorce and got drugged, got all kind of messed up. And they talked about to her and talked to her and tried to reach her and tried to reach her. And couldn't get through to her brother Robert. And they were crying, just crying like a baby, tears coming in her eyes, just weeping. And they told me, they said she had went to Walmart in Hoover one day. And she went through there and she was a cashier. She worked at Walmart. She said she was a cashier. And an elderly lady came through the line and she said, honey, you don't look very happy. She said, you look so troubled. And she said, can I pray with you and ask God to touch you
And she said, they said that precious lady took her by the hand, Miss Rachel.
And she prayed with her and prayed God to touch her. She said that Sunday she went back to church, Miss May. It had been all those years that she'd been in church because this precious lady said, let us go on to perfection. Let us finish the job for our children. Not only our children. I'll tell you something else for our country. Boy, our country needs a witness for God. Our country needs to put off all the politics and all the protests and all the nonsense and conspiracies and all that nonsense and silly mess. And we need to get back to God. We need to get back to the Word of God and the God of the Word. We're in trouble, brother. Big time, this nation. Psalms chapter 9, verse 17 says this. It says this. I didn't write this. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Brother, this nation has forgotten God, blasphemed God. Take your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy 28. I want you to see something. This God said this about Israel. Israel was God's apple of His eye. And that was special to Him. Here's what He said to him. He warned him. And it happened to him. See, we got this idea God's some great big old sugar daddy in the sky. That's not the God of that Bible. I've been preaching this for years in this church, and I told you, I said, the greatest enemy America's got right now is not the Democrats or Republicans or it's the God of that Bible. The Holy God will not tolerate what's going on in America. He's not going to tolerate the same-sex marriage. He's not going to tolerate the perversion. He's not going to tolerate these things. Not the God of that Bible. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. He's warning Israel. Watch it. Deuteronomy 28:1. It shall come to pass that I shall hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord our God, and it observe to all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations on the earth. God did that to this America. There's a great book we have read. Grady wrote what God has wrote on America. Go on down. Verse 11. Come down 11. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and fruit of the Levadi, and fruit of the cattle, and the fruit of the ground, the land which God sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee the good treasure, the heaven to give the rain upon the land, and the seas, and bless all the work of thy hand, and lend many nations. He said that to God, will bless you, and He did that to this nation. Come down to verse 14. Verse 14. This is God telling Israel, the apple of His eye. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words that I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass that thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord our God to observe and do all His commandments, His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of... Cursed, cursed, cursed! Look at verse 20. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand to do, until thou be destroyed and thou perish quickly, because the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken thee. And the Lord shall make pestilence like the coronavirus cleave unto thee, until He consume thee from off the land. Verse 12, the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, and with extreme burning. That's the God Bible saying, hey, don't get away from the Word of God. This country needs a witness, needs God's people to stand up. Ronald Reagan said in 1984, if we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we're a nation gone under. We're in trouble. This country lost its mind. Gone bonkers. Politics, conspiracy. I mean, it's insane what's going on. They got away from everything but the Word of God. Let us get back to the Bible. As never before, brethren, we need some God's people to take a stand. Over there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, is a great verse. It says, therefore, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to be. And it said this, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, so he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Too many of God's people are entangled in the politics and the nonsense and stuff in this world. And God, away, we need to get back to the Word of God. Listen, let me tell you something.
And I don't say this just saying this. You as a child of God, if you're saved this morning, you can do more for eternity than Donald Trump, Joe Biden, McConnell, Pelosi, that whole bunch put together.
That Bible said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If they get taxes, if they get immigration, if they get all the things, the health care, it'll mean nothing in eternity. But you and I, we claim to have the answer for eternal life.
We ought to be doing, Paul said one time, he said, I became all things to all men that I might by all means save some. I like what Brother Lester Roloff used to say, that great evangelist. He said this, if you want to save America, get America saved.
You want to save America,
get America saved.
You want to make America great, you're not going to get it wearing a little baseball cap. You're going to make America great getting hold of a great God. God made this nation. The politics didn't. The men of God and the preachers and the children of God believe that book made this nation great, brother.
Nobody else did it. Let us go on because of our country. Never before, brother, we needed a witness. People are looking for something. I like that black people there. I sent that video to you. And that black church, we're in that Walmart, and they sung those three songs. And people were videoing that.
They were praising the Lord. Amen. They loved it.
I told you, I got on Facebook, the lady that put that out there, looking at all the comments, and I didn't see a negative comment. I looked at about 100 of them. There were 600 or 700 comments. And some of them said,
we need to quit away from the politics and the protests. We need to get back to praising our God. There's an old saying that says, it's amazing what praising can do.
You know what we need to do? Let us go on to perfection. You say, why? For our country. I tell you, I've been passing out tracts for 40-something years. God put me in the right people right after I got saved. I learned to pass out tracts. Me and my wife, we've been married about 38 years or something like that, around there. Our first date, you know what it was? We went to pass out tracts. You know what we've done for the last 38 years since we've been married? Got to give you a little gospel tract to read. We take our kids out. The rock concerts. We used to go to rock concerts, the Civic Center, the auditorium. We go out there with our kids and stand out and pass out gospel tracts.
We go to East Lake Park. We go to parks. We go to the trace track.
I've been doing it for 40-something years. You know what, Miss Rachel? Right now, today, I'm getting more people, Miss Martha, thanking me and praising God for giving them a tract than any other time in those 40 years. I went out the other day, saw Miss Liz holding up signs where you pray. I've done that for a long time. And I'm out there holding, and I've never, my wife knows, she's been there with me.
I've never had so many people roll the window down and say, praise the Lord. I had at least five of them roll the window down, Miss Jen, and they say, thank you, sir, thank you. You say, why? People are looking for something real. Let us go on to perfection
for our country. Not only for our country, let us go on for protection for our children. Let us go on for perfection for our church. Our church. We got a little bitty church, Miss May. Brother Robert, this is just a little bitty church. But I tell you what, we got a great big God.
We might be a little church, but we got a great big God. I've been to some big churches, bless God, and they got a little bitty God. They programmed God out. There's no fire in there. No passion in the preaching. There's nothing going on. It's dead, dead, dead. Brother, we got a great big God in this little church.
And we want to keep it that way. I'd rather be in a little bitty church with a great big God than be in a great big old church where God's not there. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 3. Here's where most churches are. It's called the Laodicean church age we're in. Here's where they're at. Brother, you come to this church. A guy come out yesterday, the policeman that talked to me. He said he was saved, talked to him about the Lord. And I was hoping he'd show up today. He said he might show up and park out there. He's on duty, but he thought about his lunch. And he said, I go to these churches, preacher. And he said, these preachers, he said, they don't need to be in the pulpit. They're scared to death. They're going to offend somebody. I said, you come here, you're going to get offended. That's right.
He said, they don't use the Bible no more. They don't preach against homosexuals. They don't preach against the pastor. They don't preach against politics. They don't tell the truth anymore. I said, brother, you come here,
you'll get the truth.
You'll get a Bible open. He said, they don't have to bring a Bible. I said, you'll get a Bible open. This is a little bitty church, but we got a great big God. And brother, I believe from the top of my head, the bottom of my toe, I believe everything I'm preaching to you this morning. When I get through preaching, there's nothing left on the field. I give you all I got, pretty much, within reason, time, unless you guys will stay here for 4 hours. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Let us go on to perfection. Let us finish the job. Let us go on to perfection. Let's finish this thing. Let's complete this thing. Let's don't lay down. Let's don't lay down for our church. Our little church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And the angel of the church of Laodiceans write these things, saith, Amen, the faithful, true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Talking to this church, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Thy work that thou art cold or hot, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold or hot. A lukewarm church. We're not lukewarm. I will spew thee out of my mouth. Here's what this church says. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in the furnace of Tyre, that thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, the shame of the naked. In verse 20 he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock of the church. He stands at the door knocking a lot of these churches. They got big mega churches. You know what Jesus said? Hey! Let me in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, any man, I will come in him and sup with him. That's what's happening a lot of our churches. Let me tell you, folks, I know a lot about church history. I've studied it a lot. I've been to a lot of churches. And I'm going to tell you, it's the little churches like this, and like Glory Land Baptist Church and Grace Baptist and Faith Baptist and Pale City. It's these little churches that built America where the man of God got up and preached hell and they preached heaven and they lifted up Jesus Christ. That's what made this country, brethren. These little old country churches with preachers that Brother Roloff used to say, them old man of God, they'd get in there and they'd roll their sleeves up, man, and they'd declare war on hell. Let's get going for our little church. Let me tell you, don't discredit this church. You say, preacher, we don't have much. We're getting smaller. Don't discount this church. Don't disregard what this church is doing. Listen, this church, I've been in a lot of churches, and I'm talking about King James Bible-believing churches. They don't have the track racks we got out. I know a couple of really good ones. They got a little bitty, just a little bit of track rack on their wall. And half the thing's empty. This church has more tracks. There's buttons back there. There's bumper stickers back there. There's get out of hell free cards back there. There's chick tracks. No other church that I know of has the witnessing we're doing in this church. And I'm not bragging. I think it's sad. Don't discard what this church has done. This little old church, and I say this before God, the truth, I believe, is doing more than 90% of these big churches trying to reach people with Jesus Christ. If you've got a lack of getting pussing out tracks and wearing your buttons, go back there and get them. I love what Miss Liz and Miss Rachel, I think it was, well, they were at Taco Bell, I think it was that day, that night at the church. And I love this Miss Liz. I think about it a lot. And they asked her, said, what's your name for the order? And she said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they called the order out, Brother Roger. When the order was ready, they said, praise the Lord, your order's ready. Hey, that's what this church is about. That's what it's about, Brother Ben, walking in the banks and telling people about Jesus. Let's go on, this little church. Let us go on to perfection, brother. Don't disregard this little church. Brother, we've done a lot more and a lot of other churches. I write by Miss Pat and Robert's house. And there's a big scripture sign right there, standing right there. I want to say, let us go on for our little church. Let us keep on keeping on like Brother Roloff. Don't discard, don't discount what God has done in this church. Don't do it. Don't do it.
They broke in our church. People did again. This third time since I pastored this church that they broke in, stole stuff. And I told that policeman, I said, you know, I don't worry about this kind of stuff. This is God's house, number one. I'm just here to lead a little bit. And I said, Lord, I'll take care of whatever's going on here and all this stuff. But I said, it's pretty bad. Pretty bad, these folks doing that. You know, I was down there in the kitchen, and they had cups. You couldn't even see the floor. They had cups. They just were mean. They're being mean. They threw pennies and threw cups. Then they got in the nursery. They threw everything in the nursery out on the floor, just being mean. And I was in the kitchen in there. I was going around picking up pennies and picking up pens and cups and plates, going around. When I got about through, I said, I should have took a picture of this. I should have took a picture of this and showed the church what a mess these people made. Then I got home. When I got through Miss Liz, and I was riding home and going down home, and it kind of hit me, and I said, Lord, I'm so glad I didn't take a picture. I'm so glad I didn't take a picture. I'm so glad nobody else came out to that church and saw what they had done to the house of God. This is what I want you to see. I didn't want nobody to see that mess that they had just, they defiled the church of God. Listen, let us go on. Because of our church, let us go on to perfection. I'm glad you guys didn't see that. I'm glad, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm the only one with that picture of that in my mind. What I saw in this church yesterday. I want to say, let us go on because of our children. Let us go on because of our country. Let us go on because of our church. Let us go on this morning because of the cross. I could give you a bunch of points as a message. Let us go on because of the cross. On a hill far away, there stood an old rugged cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross. Where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish that old rugged cross till my trophies I last lay down. And I'll cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And that old rugged cross is so despised by the world. They hate it. Has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. In the old rugged cross stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For it was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. Let us go on to perfection. Let us finish the job. You say, why, preacher? Because of that old rugged cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the preaching of the cross is them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the cross. In April of this year, you guys remember, there's a church in Dora, Lawler Missionary Baptist Church. And they had there on the hill by their church, and it was all on the news. And they had three of the gold crosses there. It had that one big in the middle, two on the side representing Calvary. And an F1 tornado came through there, and it knocked those two outside crosses flat. But that old middle cross, Miss Rachel, it was standing strong and tall, brother. It's straight as an arrow. There ain't nothing gonna stop the cross of Jesus Christ. Let us go long for the cross. That old song, the cross it standeth fast. Hallelujah, hallelujah, defying every blast. Hallelujah. The storms may blow and the world can ridicule it. But I'm going to tell you, that old cross of Calvary, it'll stand fast. It'll get the job done. Paul said over in Galatians chapter 6:14, one of my favorite verses. That was Billy Graham's life verse, was Galatians 6:14. They said he had it in every room of the house. Ever had it in the bathroom, bedrooms, kitchen. He had one verse, Galatians 6:14. Plastered, he said, that was a life verse. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. this Rachel, he said, I'm not interested in the politics. I'm not interested in the playing games. And Billy Graham lived it too, by the way. He didn't get involved in all the politics. He didn't get involved in all this myth. He was one of the greatest gospel preachers this generation has ever seen. He was true to that cross. Let us go on, my friend. Let us go on to perfection. Let us finish the job because of the cross. When I was out here at the church yesterday, and the policeman come out, Darby, and he talked a while. He wanted to preach a little bit too, I think. But he was telling me, and he said it several times, he said, you know, preacher, hell has a special place for somebody to come in and tear up a church like this. And I didn't say it, but you know what I was thinking to myself when he said it? I said, hell has a special place for every one of us if it wasn't for the cross of Jesus Christ. When I was back here, but behind this pew, they took everything out of the pew, and I was on my knees picking it up. You know, I was thinking, Miss Yale, I say, if it wasn't for the grace of God, that would be me. If it wasn't for the cross, that'd be you, Miss Rachel. That'd be you and you and you. If it wasn't for the cross, hell has a special place for every one of us. Thank God for the cross. Let us go on because of the cross, the cross, the cross. There's a famous preacher named John Bradford. He lived in the 16th century. And John Bradford, one time he saw a bunch of men going up the gallows. They was walking up the gallows, Brother Roger, to be executed, be hung. And they was walking up the steps. And he entered that, he said that famous statement, been through history. He said, if it weren't for the grace of God, there goes John Bradford. He said he'd be one of those being hung if it wasn't for the grace of God. If it wasn't for the cross of Jesus Christ, I could have done what those men and kids did to this church. Let us go on. Because of the cross. Because of the cross. Ephesians chapter 2 over there, it says, for when you were without Christ, that was me, it's with you at one time. It said you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise. And it said, hey, you had no hope. And without God in the world, that's where you were without the cross. And it goes on to say this. But now he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. By the cross. Let us go on to perfection. Let us, me and you, let us take that responsibility. Let us go on. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll heal the land. You're not talking Republicans or Democrats. Talking to us. Let us go on to perfection. One of my favorite songs is that old song, Stand Up for Jesus, Ye Soldiers of the Cross. Lift high His royal banner and must not suffer all. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished in Christ, His Lord indeed. The guy that wrote that song was a man named George Duffield. If you look here, he's the author of that song. George Duffield didn't start it, though. There's a young man named Dudley King. Dudley King was 33 years old in March 1854. He was preaching at the YMCA. And the YMCA, back in those days, it was Young Men's Christian Association. That's what they did. They preached. It was churches. It wasn't gyms. It wasn't the kind of stuff going on now. It was churches. That's where Dwight L. Moody started preaching. Billy Sunday started preaching. R.A. Torrey. That's where some of the greatest preachers ever lived, preaching the YMCA. And Dudley King was a 33-year-old man. Young man preaching. He preached in Exodus chapter 10, verse 11. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. 5,000 men were listening to him that day. 5,000. The YMCA in Chicago. He gave an altar call, Miss Martha. They said over a thousand men came down to the altar, packed that altar, crying out to God to serve Him. Dudley King, during that message, said this statement, famous statement. He said this, I would rather that this right arm were amputated at the trunk than ask it some short of my duty and in delivering God's message to you. He said, I'd rather that this arm be amputated at the trunk than that I would come short and deliver God's message to you. 2 days later, he's studying in his country home. He went out to the barn to check on the corn sheller. And the corn sheller was running. And there was a cow there. And he kind of pushed the cow out of the way. And it grabbed the sleeve of his hand, Miss Martha. And it pulled his arm down in that corn sheller and took his arm off. 2 days later, he died shortly thereafter. Blood loss, bled to death. Bled to death. On his deathbed, George Dudfield, who was his pastor at the time, he asked him, he said, Brother Dudley, is there any last words you got to say? Is there anything you want to tell these other preachers, these young preachers? And with his last breath, his last words, what little bit of voice he had left, what little bit of strength, he said, tell them, stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. George Dudfield wrote those words down. And he wrote that a little poem. And when he preached Dudley's funeral a few days later, Miss Martha, he read that poem that he wrote there in the funeral. Sunday school teacher got the poem, Miss Rachel, and put it to music. And that was the song, Stand Up for Jesus. Listen, friend, this is serious stuff. That old fellow said, listen, if I'd rather have his arm taken off me, then I wouldn't shut up telling people about Jesus Christ. You know, God took it off. You know what he did? He used that for that song. Remember I told you about old John Bradford? A fellow said one time, 16th century famous preacher, and he saw those men walking up the gallows, and they were being hung for their executing for their crimes, and he said, if it weren't for the grace of God, there goes John Bradford. Do you know how John Bradford died? He died July the 1st, 1555. Now he died. He was burned at the stake for preaching the cross of Jesus Christ. Mary Tudor, Queen of England, Bloody Mary they called her, who killed thousands of Christians and burned them at the stake, Miss Rachel. That old fellow said, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there go be to be hanged. That fellow was burned at the stake for preaching the cross. So what are you trying to say? Let us go on, me and you. Let us go on to perfection. Brother Roloff said, let us keep on keeping on. Paul got through his life. I gave you that over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I'm fixing to leave this whole world. We're all going to leave it pretty soon. Time's flying. But I love what he said when he got through that thing. He said, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished my course. And I kept the faith. Let us go on to perfection. Some of you maybe got lax passing out tracts, got going to the grocery store, and you're not giving out tracts like you used to. You don't leave here without tracts. I never go in a store without tracts. Never. Never. My wife doesn't either. If I go in there, somebody's going to get a tract. Anybody, they stand by me looking at something, I say, could I just give you a little gospel tract? I've been in 40 years. Nobody's ever hit me. Very few people have even gotten mad. Most people say, well, thank you. Walk to that cow. I've given these cashiers at Publix so many. In fact, I went through the other day and a lady said, you got another one? I done read that one. You got a different one? I said, yeah, let me see. I said, I know I've given you these before, but I said, I just want to give you another one just to be on the safe side, okay? Don't get lax in prayer. You say, what? Let us go on to perfection. Let's finish the job. Our Father, we pray your blessing now upon this message, God. We are living in some dark days, God. Some days where never before have you needed a witness. I want to be that person. Isaiah's over there one time. Isaiah said, send me, Lord. Send me. Send me, Lord. I want to be that one, God. More than anything in this world, God, I want to serve you. I'm not interested in the politics. I'm not interested in the applause of men. I'm not interested in that stuff, God. I'm interested in you. And I'm interested in getting this church and getting them excited about God, getting them doing things for God, getting them passing out the trash, getting them giving out the cards, getting them wearing the buttons, getting them do things, God, and lift you up and make a difference to this world. Some having compassion, make a difference. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Help us, God. Help us. Paul said, I become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I could just get one. You said they're rejoicing in heaven of one sinner, that comes through repentance. Brother Marvin used to say, one more soul, Lord, one more soul, one more soul. Oh, Lord, help us, help us, help us to keep going. Help us, God. You said, I saw for a man to stand in the gap, but I found none. Help us to be that one, God. Help us to say, how am I here, Lord? I'll do it. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it. Help us, Lord. Father, pray your blessing now. Just ask my wife to play something this morning. Every head bowed and every eye looking. Maybe you talk to the Lord. Maybe you come to altar. Maybe you got away from passing out tracts to give you a test. Maybe you just got a latch. Maybe it's time just to get right with God. Just be clean with God. Say, Lord, got away from it, God. Got away from it. Lord, I need to get back where I was. Need to get back where I was, Lord. Got away from it. Not passing out the tracts like I used to, Lord. Not giving the testimonies like I used to. Not doing the things I used to, God. Just got kind of away from it. This is your time. This is your time. You won't regret it. You won't regret it. Thank you.